Is Infinity War breaking all of the records? Do we have a gamut of Deadpool news, including some Infinity War tie-in, baby? And do we have a deleted scene for Black Panther? Yes. This is Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites. Welcome to episode 179, and we are coming to you live from a lost chimichanga truck, because I have missed out on some Deadpool marketing, and I want to see more of it, and I feel lost in a chimichanga truck. Mm-hmm. It's just wandering the streets of perhaps San Francisco.
I like to think it was in the Ant-Man verse.
Yeah, they're growing up.
There it is.
A security firm and a taco truck.
I actually love that.
When Hawkeye shows up, they're all protected.
Yeah.
It's fine.
They didn't go.
No.
They're still fine.
Do we know that?
Well, they would have shown us. They would have.
I think they all went.
Can you imagine at the end of Infinity War, they just cut to Hawkeye? Like, what is this?
That's all you get.
What is this?
Or they have one of his children. And he's just like, I will take up the mantle.
Holding Dad's hand as he goes away. We're like, this is the scene?
Both of his children gone forever.
This is what we do before and after the show, is theorize these moments. But until then, we're the Marvel Movie News. You can find us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us on YouTube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. Find us through Popcorn Talk's website, PopcornTalkNetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at the Popcorn Talk Network. Facebook.com/Marvel News Show. Follow us, like us, and if you tweet a link whilst we are live, Ant-Manthony in the booth will retweet you.
All right, my theory for Hawkeye for Avengers 4.
Okay.
Yes.
We cut to his farm, right? And he's having dinner. And all of a sudden, family dinner interrupted. Half his family just disintegrates, or all of his family just disintegrates. And then he takes up the mantle.
Do we remember?
I completely agree.
His wife's
I concur.
Name.
That's going
anybody
down.
In this room?
Not a clue.
Remember his
Linda
wife's
Cardellini.
Name. Linda Cardellini? Is she part of the witness protection program?
She's just,
Coy? That's where she went.
That's where she's been, you guys. So joining us this week, as always, is the ever lovely Marquia McCarty.
Yes. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm so excited because my phone bricked earlier today, and then it decided to come on when I came into this room. So our studio is magic.
So the 17 minutes before the show was like watching a religious movement. We saw a rebirth.
I went on my knees. It was like me in front of Chadwick Boseman with him at the Met Gala, where he was so decked out in his like Catholic themed. T'Challa-ism, I like to call it. So,
Pope
but yes,
T'Challa
you can.
II.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Marquia McCarty, MarkeiaMCCarty. MCCARTY. I hope I didn't spell my own name wrong.
That's how messed up the phone. That's how the phone.
I think I just spelled my own name
wrong. You guys should have seen her with this phone. And my friend Michelle, who joined us last minute, gets to make it today. So excited you're here.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Chaos and cacophony before the show.
Oh my God. Can I just point out too, I resaw this movie this morning again.
Yes.
I had the entire Hollywood Dome to myself.
What?
To myself. I got to watch the entire movie in my own private screen.
Did you
dome.
Run the aisles? Because I would run the aisles.
I did have my feet up the entire time. And you know that speech they give before the movie where they come out
she's
and they yell, she
yeah.
sat next to me.
Yes! You go, Arkwood. Arklight.
Arkwood, Makia McCarthy.
You know what? In my head, there's Ark Oaks and there's Arkwood.
It was amazing.
Arklight. Hollywood.
Arclight Hollywood.
It was a surreal experience. And I'll be honest, like watching that movie on your own, you come out and you're not entirely sure everyone's still going to be there.
Oh, that's true. What a surreal experience.
For all I knew, I was the last person left. I was part of the
that's
lucky
cool.
half. I didn't know.
Because that somberness in the theater, if you're by yourself, is just so like, that'd be oppressive.
I would be like, did it actually happen?
That's amazing.
Oh, God.
Oh I love that.
That was crazy.
Now I've got a goal. Now I'm going to watch it by myself.
A little surreal.
I'm going to try to find like a 9 a.m. Chatsworth screening.
Is it like 9:30 this morning?
Okay, good.
Yes, if you really want to rock your world, see it in a mostly empty theater early morning.
And we are actually going to be seeing it. Marquia and I are seeing it again next Wednesday.
Yes!
So if you'd like to join us, this is our announcement of that. We're going to be seeing it at the IMAX in Burbank. Amy, you should join us too. We want to meet people. We want to win our schmooze with fans.
And Ant-Manthony, all of us.
All of us. And Amy, where can they find you on the internet?
On all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ.
Beautiful. There we are. That is the intro. We have made it through to this part of the show now that it's 2:30. Guys,
oh my God.
I am very excited to announce that this is the second to last show until we've all seen Deadpool. and that feels real good.
Second to last.
That's a hell of a countdown.
Not that I'm twitching.
You have one more.
Now, next week, it'll just be an hour of me, like, drooling in anticipation and dreams.
No, I kind of love it, because it's like those high school television shows where it's like, you've got 2 weeks until prom. What are you going to do?
It's coming. So, Deadpool 2, 2 weeks. They're gearing up. They're doing their marketing. I think that we were talking right before the show. I think they've been kind of keeping their marketing at bay to not step on Infinity War because of the mammoth that Infinity War is. What do you guys think about the marketing they've gotten so far?
I think they're missing out by not having that dive from the airplane have like half of them disintegrate midair.
No.
You don't know the timeline. They're missing out.
Well, I think they're in one of Cable's timelines, so therefore Infinity War has not even happened or has already happened, so they don't have to worry about people being
I
will say with the chat room, Langley brought it up. Yes, this is John Schnapp's birthday screening that he advertised on Twitter, and we will be seeing that not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday.
Hero squatting up. It's going to be awesome.
Amazing. Yeah.
So, the world of Deadpool, the first movie did an amazing thing where they just put Ryan Reynolds in a suit, and he just was an ad, and it was delightful. Like, the one with him in the Australian hat, the one with, like, Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool, he just took, you know, 20, 35 years to get the suit on.
Well, they really did the best marketing however many years beforehand, where they released the footage.
Yeah.
The, like, test footage, and everyone lost their minds.
Oops.
So it's like that, you couldn't ask for better marketing than that. Being, hey, we're going to kind of preview the movie itself.
Yeah, we're going to give you a awesome third of the film in this previs.
Yeah.
And then they let Ryan Reynolds run rampant, and this time they're doing something very different, and before we get to the Celine Dion glory, this was tricky to find because it got pulled over and over again. The score for Deadpool, not the soundtrack, the score is the first ever score that has a parental advisory sticker. The score. So.
Fantastic.
One of the tracks leaked. I have a minute and a half of it. And there are some spoilers. So mild spoiler warning. A character we've presumed is in this movie is announced in this song. So if you want to know nothing, because it's only 2 weeks away. Don't listen.
Yes, for the next 2 minutes, then, just fast forward.
Just go like this. La, la, la,
but for
la,
everyone else, check out this glory. Aunt Anthony, could you play that for us?
Also, just like preface this, I'm going to change the color to
spoiler
well
red.
Done.
I think that's perfect.
Nice. Yeah,
so once the color goes away back to blue, it'll be done.
Thank you, man.
Excellent. Right, thank you.
It's beautiful.
It's so epic.
It's Star Wars Episode 1-y.
Yes!
Like the dueling fates?
Yes, actually.
But with holy shit balls.
My god.
Here it comes. It's building.
It's very, very epic. Very epic right here.
And the visuals are going to be David Leitch magical directing.
Can't stop him? Oh my god! Oh my god!
That isn't a score!
Oh my god!
And that, think about who you can't stop.
Cable?
No.
Thanos?
Thanos! Oh!
What?
The unstoppable juggernaut! You can't stop him! You can't stop him! I never thought.
I like that take.
Yeah, right?
That wasn't my first thought, but I enjoy that take.
The unstoppable juggernaut.
Gregorian chants the way you've never heard them before.
The spoiler's over, right?
Spoiler's over. Spoiler's
okay,
clear.
So spoiler's over. We're good. We're safe.
So that score was. Oh my god.
Everything I've come to expect.
I didn't expect. It's kind of like, you know, when you're watching, like, was it Hidden Tiger,
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Yes, thank you. I vice versa that. you don't expect to hear that particular underlay
right,
that
like,
will happen.
I love that there's a chorus of holy
shit
balls.
But I kind of hope that, you know, if they have a second or a third one, I want that to be in it. Can't stop this insert here.
Am I the only one just, like, not surprised at all?
I think it's perfect.
No!
I think,
wow.
So Tyler Bates is a brilliant music maker. He's worked with Marilyn Manson on his last two albums. Mm-hmm. He's worked on many, many scores. He's clearly no stranger to this world. But I love, so he was saying that the choir had been given, like, faux Latin-esque language to hit the percussion marks to just set the tone. And then David Leitch, the director, came in and then on a whim wrote the lyrics. And that was the magic, which is Deadpool.
That's awesome.
So delightfully on brand.
I love it.
So that was recorded on the spot.
Yeah, and for people in chat or people that like were like, oh, I don't want to do a spoiler, they didn't actually name any character.
They didn't.
So you can re-listen to that.
It's and you should because I wasn't.
Yeah. And then here are speculations on who is unstoppable.
So I believe that I will be listening to that score while running for the next 6 to 12 months. Right? I do believe, like, yes, oh, so I loved it. I'm very excited. That to me is great viral marketing. Speaking of viral marketing, before we get into some plot stuff that Entertainment Weekly leaked, we have some more music for you guys. And this is unlike anything you would expect from Deadpool. This is the opposite. That song you'd expect from Deadpool.
Absolutely. Yes. This song. Any Marvel movie at all.
Keeping in mind, before when everybody was like, oh yeah, Black Panther, we're starting Black Panther, because Black Panther was going up and then Infinity War and Black Panther was the movie before it. And now Deadpool is the movie.
It is the season.
So we are everything Deadpool.
So prepare yourselves.
So let's feel this. And take this in.
This makes me so happy, you guys.
My whole life led to this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a long time to land what this actually is.
Mm-hmm. It holds, it's Celine Dion.
And it holds on Celine long.
You just kind of have to, like, take this in.
You're just there.
It has to soak in.
You're in Vegas along
like
with
ramen noodles. You have to let it cook.
It takes a full 2 minutes to get all the flavor.
Celine Dion, 2.5 minutes on the stove. Yep. 62
minimum.
Cents.
Minimum.
Set that stove to 11. Oh, you're good.
And then the reveal.
This is so Whitney Houston.
And
like, I'm sorry, but that's
very 90s. Yeah, like, very, yeah. Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
I see it as Fifth Element. Like, Fifth Element reveal.
Oh, that scene, yes. And just beautiful, beautiful imagery with the murk with the mouth.
It's like, this is so ridiculously apt. It's amazing.
I can't wait to see where this is used in the movie.
This is never used in the movie.
Oh, it definitely is.
Really?
Him and Vanessa.
Oh, completely. I want this to never be used.
This will be over, like, the greatest fight scene ever. That's what he does.
Oh, God.
That's how it gets subverted.
Because the juxtaposition of comedy in this is going
to
be.
I want this to be like, you know, Marvel MCU, and they're like, hey, Hulk is running in the background. He's never there. We did this for this trailer. I want this to just be for this.
Oh, I think Vanessa
like
and Deadpool.
Like the Bob Ross stuff.
Yeah, I think that's too obvious. I think this is playing in the background as he's stabbing someone through the eyes, like, just continuously.
Oh, well, the lyrics of Welcome literally out of the ashes. Maybe it's the fight with Pyro what's his name,
not Negasonic,
the kid from Wolver People.
I very much enjoy how Deadpool is like striding
the heel walk.
There is nothing like a guy that knows how to move in heels and is dancing it to me.
Okay, but can we,
I'm telling you,
this is not
so
Ryan Reynolds.
No, I was about
in
to say.
No way. But do we think at any point that was Ryan Reynolds
in the open,
in the very opening when he was like just looking at the
maybe
camera?
Maybe it's that guy that does the Beyonce videos in heels, because if it is,
that is
amazing
possible.
Choreographer.
His name is Giannis Marshall. He is apparently the guy for dancing in heels. He's incredible.
Does he do
he's
Beyonce?
Amazing. Yeah.
Okay.
Follow him on Instagram. He's a titan.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's incredible. I mean, like,
this is gorgeous.
Like, oh my God. And this also feels like the comics. Like, I love that this character can have these moments because this is on brand. This is right.
Yeah. Deadpool would absolutely do this sort of thing. And Ryan Reynolds, I bet you, is really mad he can't dance in heels for this.
He did as much as he could, I guarantee.
I'm sure. He's like, do you need me to just do the walk? I can do the walk.
I got this. I'm in suit.
When you see this guy, he can do anything in heels.
Oh, sure.
This is him bringing back his, like, dimming his glow for what he's doing right here for this. But just in general, I feel like everybody should be able to dance in heels. Everyone should. Why
you're watching Marvel Movie News, you should be dancing in heels right now.
And by the way,
heels
like,
are not
I almost apologize
for me
for talking over this the whole time, because it really is an epic song.
No.
But, like, watch it on your own.
Michelle,
I get
we
it.
Have to.
I know. Oh, and I agree.
YouTube will take us
but
down.
But I'm just saying,
we
the actual song itself is
it's
gorgeous.
Incredible.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
No, thank you. We need to do it again.
Okay. Why?
Well, it's too good. And this is Deadpool 2, not Titanic. You're at like an 11.
Oh, that
get
face.
You down to a 5, oh. 5.5 tops. Just phone it in.
I love
Listen,
it.
This thing only goes to 11. So beat it, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Is that a mild spoiler for Infinity War? Because Spider-Man doesn't make
beat it.
Just
Celine Dion's like, by the way, you're welcome.
I know.
Enjoy this so much.
Her sense
that made
of humor,
me so happy.
The whole thing, the on brand, the only character that can really make that work without it seeming like it's a
especially
trite.
The references to 11. Yeah, all of them.
With the gun. It's all coming. I'm so excited, you guys.
Yes.
So as the movie draws near, we are getting more and more press about it. And our last bit of Deadpool news for the day, other than the poster, which is... Actually, let's throw up that poster while I talk, because good God damn.
Yeah, the poster is so fun.
So that poster is everything in the kitchen sink. That poster is all the characters we love.
He says that specifically, because if you look in the left hand...
Is there a kitchen sink? Left hand.
Well,
right.
When you're looking the at it, left. The right hand. Mm-hmm. Oh, camera right, sage left. Oh, so yeah, the
acting
right-hand
for 10 years, still not good at camera left and right.
It's a kitchen sink right there.
I love that so
is
much.
Is this a swan song though?
Oh,
or is just a swan boat?
Interesting.
I feel like having two final movies in 1 year. I mean, and I know Avengers is coming back, but still, like.
They can't lose Logan and Deadpool.
Oh, God.
Like, Fox is just like, they need one. Gambit's been trying to get off the ground for 37 years.
Oh, God.
And we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Yeah. But Logan is, let's not have more sadness. This year has been brutal. This is our happy place after Infinity Wars. Mm-hmm. This is healing our wounds. And speaking of happy place, originally, there was a time when Deadpool 2 was going to feature a child. Wade Wilson was going to be a father in early drafts of Deadpool, which is based off the Gary Dugan run, which you haven't read is incredible. Gary Dugan took over Deadpool about 6 years ago, and he introduced a child that he didn't know he had, and it's a great storyline. So there was an idea of doing that, but they realized that just wouldn't work. They said they got to page like 1.5, and it was totally untenable. So nope, they didn't want to do it. But instead, the movie, and this is mild spoilers, is like the first one was a love story. This is a family film, but in a way, Deadpool can be a family film.
Yeah, X-Force. Yeah, family. It's a family that you choose.
So they said they went back to the drawing board and kind of reworked it in a way about wanting to have a child, which is something that so many people I know experience on a daily basis, wanting to have a child but can't. It is a love story masquerading as a comic book movie, which I love because the love story in the first one is so good.
Very good.
Like, Vanessa and Wade in their romp around the year is one of the best.
Oh, like, I love that entire montage.
That montage of love
Wasn't
is
that
so...
a great montage?
Like, pegging and love stories should go together more. Obviously. I'm just saying.
No,
it's
I like
you're not watching the right movies.
It's true. It's true.
The cross genre with it really is. It's not just action adventure and we're superheroes. No, it's like hey, there's comedy and it's a family film.
And it's released on Valentine's Day.
Just because it's a film about a family does not make it a family film, you guys.
It's an R-rated family film.
So Deadpool is next week, the week after next week. We're hoping to be seeing it soon. I'm not sure what that is, but you should tune in to Collider Heroes tomorrow for a certain gentleman that may or may not have invented
heartily
Deadpool.
Heartily recommend.
Perhaps 10 a.m.
for you to tune in.
You join us.
Well, they might show it at 2 p.m.
2 p.m. You should maybe watch.
Watch Collider Heroes tomorrow.
Rob Liefeld's coming in. I'm so excited.
For Koi, myself, and John, and whoever we may be interviewing.
His name rhymes with Tob Blyfeld. So
and there you go.
So in the world of Marvel MCU, Black Panther has released a deleted scene, and I'm gonna let Marquia tell you all about it.
We someone talked about this before. It was Wakabi and Okoye deleted scene. Like we semi talked about it before, but are we playing it? Is that
we
the
should
thing?
Go to play.
We should play
oh
it.
Oh my god, let's just play it.
I thought this would be important.
Let's just go ahead and play this. Because those that have seen Black Panther, and even those that haven't, this is actually a really great scene. It's one of those scenes, and I've read a lot of things on the back end with this, but specifically that these characters were so rich, but there was only so much film that could be told within a certain amount of time. And this was something that just wound up on the cutting floor. And what it really does is that it gives more of an illumination on Wakabi's decision-making process for what he does. And I guess I don't want to say more than that, but we'll kind of see.
Yeah, roll the after watching, roll that clip.
Oh, this beautifulness.
You didn't seem to have a problem when he was thrown from the force.
It was the king's challenge he lost.
You wanted him to lose!
He was not fit to lead. T'Challa taught me to my face right here that he'll bring Claw back. Did he do it?
He had him. And T'Chaka stole him from our
country. I don't care!
One mistake. Claw
stole
One mistake,
from us.
Dude.
He murdered my mother and father. 30 years there's been no justice, and T'Challa swore to bring him back. Not take him to the UN. Not take him to the CIA, but bring him here to us. Like a real king.
Oh, dude. Oh my god, that was so strong. Oh my god.
This is what you would have me leave the daughter for.
Never.
To bring our children into this world where they become conquerors.
Yes.
Say what? The sun never sets.
Leaders of a true empire. Not just a tiny country where we have to hide everything that makes us great. There will be war and death. But in the end, it will be beautiful.
Oh, no.
And Wakanda will stand tall.
Oh, my God. This is so hard.
So, if you'd somehow forgotten in the last 3 months how good Black Panther was, that was a little refresher.
That was a deleted scene.
Yeah.
That didn't make the theatrical release.
Daniel Kaluuya. Is
amazing.
Good God.
And Danai
Gurira, I mean, is like the two of them.
And I get it. Like, because for leaving it out, because it's not exactly a distraction, but it's something obviously the plot like itself didn't need. And their relationship was strong enough even without that. But like, it just adds so much more.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel if that's all that you saw? Like, there's people out there that have not seen anything, and then that might be the first thing that they saw. Like, how do you feel? Can you describe
the seven
that?
People that haven't seen the movie are now in?
It's gorgeous. It's so well acted. It speaks to a really strong relationship. There's so much loss. Like, just in that little clip right there. No, I mean, I freaking love Black Panther itself. So
yeah, well, last time we were talking about, because you hadn't seen Infinity, but
I had not seen Infinity War, but I had seen Black Panther.
About the 1-2 punch of those? How did you feel leaving Infinity War having? You know,
how did I feel about watching Infinity War having just seen Black Panther?
Did you like you saw Black Panther? Right,
I loved going back to Wakanda that quickly. Really, yeah. It felt very strange because all of the Marvel movies have such a long period of time in between all of them that you don't get to have that revisitation right away. And I like when we got back to Wakanda and you hear that music and everything. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, it's like a TV series.
Yeah, you're like, we're getting back
right away. Yeah. It's so great.
Don't we need that so hard?
I mean,
the money that would cost.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God.
Game of Thrones is free compared to Wakanda every week.
Yes, I'd be okay with it.
So
HBO.
How are you feeling? How's the chat room feeling? Tell us.
You know, a lot of people are bummed that the scene wasn't in there, but they understand.
They're not the only ones. The editor felt the same way.
Yeah.
Yes. Charles Lee says, it saddens me that this was a deleted scene. We had time for a geopolitical intrigue, science fiction, and a romantic scene with powerful leaders.
Ooh, nice point.
_ says, this scene should have stayed in the movie. A lot of people criticize how T'Challa didn't tell Wakabi that he had Kaluuya, but this establishes that Wakabi simply wouldn't have cared.
Mm. Okay. So it's a tricky, I don't know where it could have fit as far as pacing, and that's hard, and like, especially with like, that third act is like, go, 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 so it'd be hard to be like, hey, as the betrayal mounts, so I get why they cut it, but as far as just out of context, I really love being able to go 2.5 minutes and completely feel all the things we felt with those characters again.
Yeah, by the time you get to the third act of Black Panther, it's like, growing. Everything is just so ramping up, and this, as powerful as it was, would have been a step back from that. So I get it. I do, but...
Yeah.
I love that we got it.
No, yeah. And that's why I love... Like, that's why the first thing I always do is, like, go to the trivia and, like, IMDb for movies. I'm like, I want to know more. I want to know all the things. So any deleted scene, anything like that, I'm...
And Blu-rays.
I adore.
Buy things, guys.
The only thing that I could... think of with this is that, like, maybe after you have that scene in the council room where Wakabi takes Killmonger's side, then you could have this, because, you know, then that fits with, like, after Warrior Falls and everything, so that's a possibility. But also, I kind of prefer this as a deleted
scene.
Me
too.
Yeah.
Either that or just give me the 4-hour cut.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Yeah. If we can Lord of the Rings it, I don't envy the editing.
I want the collector's edition.
Yeah.
Ludwig Göransson did a 4-hour score. So let's have
that. So it's out there.
Do all the things.
But also, you can buy it on digital today. Black Panther, if you never had a chance to go into theaters, just buy it on digital and then watch it.
And a week from today,
Blu-ray on May 15th.
Yeah. So in a week, pick it up with deleted scenes.
Three other deleted scenes in addition to that one?
So yes. Perhaps support the things you love and keep them making them. And buy freaking tangible things, because I want my kids to know what touching a movie feels like. So, Black Panther.
Then wipe off the fingerprints.
Yeah, then don't touch them again. After you've experienced it, don't ever touch it again. They're your dad's. God, he's worried. They also were discussing the world of Killmonger and how his mother was pretty much assumed dead. And that makes it an even sadder story. Like, Killmonger is one of the best villains we've had in a comic movie. Killmonger really made you feel for him because his ideals weren't that disparate than ours. Like, he kind of had American ideals.
Can we talk about, like, Killmonger and Thanos, like, just antagonist, protagonist?
Yes.
Where everyone watching by the end of the movie, you're kind of like, okay, no, I get it. I get it.
I get what you're saying.
Both movies.
Yeah.
Yes.
2018 has been incredible for Marvel. You sit on the 405 at rush hour and you think about Thanos' choice.
Yeah, right. What if half these cars
What if I could just drive right now, maybe?
But then you also have to think, I mean, with Killmonger and also with Thanos, they're always like, minus. Let's take away from people to then give more to others. When it's like, how about we just give more to all? I mean, like when you're saying, like in traffic, oh, there's so many cars. How about there's just more highways? Or there's a bigger planet, or there's another planet next to it, and we have the technology
just
to also
grow the planet.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Then we just expand more and more out. I mean, it's like, hey, I can make half the universe disappear, or I can quadruple or, you know, quintuple the food supply.
But if things are finite, like if you make the highway wider, you take away animals' land, you take away plants.
So then you make another planet. You have infinity.
But
power.
How do you get things to? I feel
if
like
they're just fighting against an inevitability. Yeah. Essentially, in both cases,
they have
cases.
The technology; they can build it.
But humans are a virus. Well, eventually, we'd eat over that planet and the next planet and the next planet.
You're talking like Matrix.
I'm just.
You're
it's.
So
I'm not wrong.
Smithing
I'm not,
right now, Koi.
We make 10 children, and there's one. There's two of us, right? Two of us turns into 10.
The universe,
they consume.
The universe is so huge. We make more Earths, and then we just like do the orbit, or we make the technology so
hashtag
that there can be more Earths.
Oh my god!
I love it. I'm gonna tweet that at you.
Oh god! So you started a thing.
That poor gif that was just born. And also, Killmonger had pretty much an American concept. Killmonger basically was like, hey, what if we, like, turn this on its head, arm everyone, and that's like, you know, we don't get into politics in the show because I don't want to lose half of you to my own very strong opinion, so I won't. But we like to kind of just go, as a country.
And
so,
I mean, this, in both cases, it's just sort of putting a Band-Aid on inevitability. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, but Infinity War, like, is Thanos going to show back up again in another 500 million years and do the exact same thing?
Yeah.
Because the same problem's going to happen.
Rise up again.
Sorry, unless you just sterilize the remaining half of the population, the same sort of thing's going to happen again.
And how beautiful is that?
Amy's face!
She's
like, no kids. That's like, was it Children of Men? What was that? What was that?
Yes. Children of Men.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I asked the chat, whose side are you on? Mm-hmm. And so far...
For Thanos or Killmonger?
Yeah, well, on
Thanos slash Killmonger versus the
on
Avengers.
Koi, Koi,
you
guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So we have Koi, Markeia.
That's... I'll do that poll.
We have two Koi, one Markeia. But
so
I'm
far.
On your team.
So two to two. We're tied up. We're tied up.
Okay.
So, but how beautiful is that we went through, you know, 9 years of Marvel movies where the villain was kind of the weakness. Loki is a standout.
Sure.
And then Netflix is like, but hey, what if we give you half the show for the villain?
They took a few films to build Loki.
Oh, absolutely.
To that
yeah. So and when we look at him, that's four movies to get Loki to where we see him.
Exactly.
But the Marvel show.
Yeah, but I mean, I loved Loki right off the bat. So
he's an amazing actor.
So what the Marvel shows did was they showed us basically what they could do and make the villain. Kingpin is just as strong as Daredevil in Daredevil season one. But what I loved about Infinity War is in 2.5 hours, you could see Thanos' perspective even a little bit opposite characters you've known for 10 years. That's incredible. Like, these 10 years of characters. And then Killmonger, he just, like, cut his way through scenes, and then by the end, by the third act, and he explained his evil villainous plot, you're like, oh, no, do I totally understand where you're coming
from? Yeah, is this not so evil and villainous?
And then they
but
changed
it's like
their...
Kind of- historical
wait, superheroes
fact, like
have
a,
shades of gray?
Another, perhaps, but yeah.
And then Wakanda did it.
That gray area.
And then Wakanda really did what they said. Like, Wakanda actually listened to Killmonger to a point. Like, yeah. they did open their doors. They did start doing this stuff.
But they didn't get a Starbucks.
They didn't get a Starbucks.
No.
Olympics
well, you know
either.
What? Yeah. They're okay with not getting a Starbucks. I'm just going to
They're
going to
get
that.
A coffee bean.
Yeah, I'm much better. Much better.
So, or, you know, local owned.
Yeah.
Yes. Also good.
So, apologies to the iTunes listeners. There's been a lot of cross yelling because we are hype. I just realized I've been like, Thanos was right! Oh, no. So, apologies. Yeah. And I'll try to...
But also for your audio pleasure, the Infinity War toys that we had last week, we do have on the desk tonight with Avengers Infinity War Titan Hero series and Adora Balls. They're adorables. So we have,
three Ebony Maws. All the Ebony Maws.
Yeah, we have the Black Order.
Oh, he's cute.
And of course, we have a Doctor Strange right here.
Gamer Girl, OG Marvel fan. This is the weirdest Marvel movie news yet.
I'm liking my Stormbreaker, my Axe plus
pretty
Root.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty
we put it in place of Mjolnir. I will never pronounce that right.
Mjolnir. That's probably not even right.
Mjolnir.
Nope.
Michelle did it for me. That's the one. We now have Stormbreaker.
So in the world of Infinity War, whilst on the subject, it has broken all the records again. In its second weekend, it made an additional $112.4 million, which means it made $1 billion by the end of its second weekend, which means... In 11 days, this movie made $1 billion with a B. Now, it used to be like when we were kids, you'd never even hear of a billion. Like, tens of millions was exciting. Hundreds of millions was like,
$1 billion!
Yeah, $1 billion was a cartoon number.
There you go.
So, with $1.17 billion total, it has now passed Civil War's entire run. It has passed Transformers Dark of the Moon's entire run. It has beaten Lord of the Rings Return of the King. It has beaten Skyfall, which means... That in its first week, it beat Justice League, and we're not... It's just a movie example. I'm not saying anything about that. What I am saying is that it is trouncing entire franchises as it tears through the box office.
Are you saying Infinity
And it's only
War?
Been out 11 days. Yeah.
Infinity. Yeah, it also beat Black Panther.
Yeah,
yeah, so there you go. Justice League and Black Panther, it beat it. So
it beat Black
go.
Panther You're as covered. Of this morning, I think.
Yeah.
So it has just beaten Black Panther.
I believe
as well.
So, if I'm wrong, chat room. Let Amy know.
There's a $7 disparity. Like, what is it? So it is doing incredibly well. I personally think it'll hit $2 billion. I think this will be our first movie to hit $2 billion.
Yeah. But I will also say that Black Panther was a standalone movie. It was an amazing cultural accomplishment. And I love that Infinity War has happened.
It's killing it. And
Infinity War, like when they say Wakanda Forever, I was just this. It was like automatic.
Everyone should be like that.
It was like a reflex.
And exactly. Infinity War still hasn't been in China.
Cross the arms.
Still hasn't been in China yet, which is like
Wakanda's
the third.
Right.
Yes. So it hit $1 billion without even taking China into account. So, yeah.
So $2 billion is going to happen, and the fact that it hasn't opened there yet is crazy to hit that number. So the Russo brothers have been slowly unveiling more and more facts as they go along.
Oh, yes, they have.
And I love that one of these was something we talked about last week.
Yes.
What happened to Scarlet Witch's accent?
I love that they have an explanation.
Yeah, me too.
For all of this. I had my own explanation, but it was more of like an actor's explanation, where it's like, let me just dial this down until I don't have to do this anymore.
Until someone stops noticing how many movies till I don't have this anymore.
Sort of how Cumberbatch's accent gets turned up slightly, sometimes. But you're like, I can still hear it, dude.
We can still hear it.
We're on to you.
Michelle's got it.
So in defense of Scarlet Witch's accent, the Russo brothers said, quote, we have intentionally tried to strip that accent away for a couple of reasons. One is you'll notice at the beginning of Civil War that Black Widow is training her to be a spy. And two, she's been on the run, and one of the most distinguishing characteristics that she has is her accent. So if you're going to try to disguise yourself or hide yourself or not be caught, you're going to try to limit those trigger warnings that would make it easy for someone to identify you, which be inclusive of her accent. Now, clearly Black Widow is a redhead in an incredibly distinguishable characteristic for her, which is why she has blonde hair. Cap, we've seen Chris Evans walk around in public with a beard and no one recognizes him, which I don't believe.
Yeah, right?
There are simple things you can do to your appearance that take about 90% of your visibility away, and for us, it was very intentional that we would just keep stripping that accent down, down, and down to show we're acclimating and hiding. Okay.
I call total BS on this. Complete BS on this.
Exactly.
very convenient.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when I hear all of this, I just hear a large marching band that goes, Black Widow's not a Skrull.
Please notice that she's blonde for some reason.
But they're all action figures, so sorry. In this, no, I'm sorry. Video, viral, Vine, YouTube, they're all, I guarantee you they have like 10,000 followers on Instagram on their fan accounts. Like, no, everyone knows who these people look like. Forget what they sound like. No one cares.
Where did they have Chris Evans walk around with a beard and not get noticed is my question.
When he went around, actually, I don't remember if he had a beard, but he went to his own exhibit and he had the cap on. And it was that one kid that recognized him, and that was it.
Saying Chris Evans, the actor, walked around.
Evans walk around in public.
But
what she's saying is
canon, right?
Yeah, that's true. Actual character has walked around, quote unquote, without anyone recognizing him. But I'm also just like,
Where it was kind of like that sad music, well, in my head, sad music playing when he was watching like Bucky and he had his like little cap on his beard.
And that's the Marvel thing. They do the hat, the sunglasses, the like, you don't know who I am now. It's like, you just look like the Unabomber version.
To be fair, DC took that one first, the Clark Kent glasses. You don't know who I am, Lois.
Clear glasses disguise.
Right.
So I will say that for, whatchamacallit, I do RPGs with like Hyper RPG, which is a super fun outlet. And I played Scarlet Witch, and I did it with like full on first movie accent. So fun to do, by the way.
Can you do a sentence with the accent?
Oh, dear God.
I would like to hear this.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. All right.
That's a great accent.
Read the quote about why didn't we see Thanos getting the Power Stone?
Why didn't we see Thanos? Murder. Because we thought it. No, it's not even. I can't do it.
We called her out. It was in the moment.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
I didn't have it in my
iTunes
head.
Listeners are like, what just happened?
I'm so
like,
sorry.
I hope I made somebody do a spit take on like a highway. I hope that happens. I tweeted it on my Twitter, but like I actually have thought about it and I'm doing a Sokovian accent there because that's a fictional place. So I can't get it wrong.
So we also found out why Thanos didn't get the Power Stone on camera, which I thought was obvious, but enough people were asking. Because we thought it'd be one too many.
The movie is 172 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's long enough.
We see a lot of stones get gathered, and exposition works for me.
It's fine.
There's so many stones he has to collect, and you get into a trap, and we thought, we knew it was in Guardians, so it was easy to deal with off screen. Got it. And then I just can't believe that was a question. To me, that was like cool. That's a movie.
I'm good.
Narrative. And they also answered, why are those scenes from the trailer missing? Which I assumed, but I love hearing for sure. They filmed them just for the trailer to mislead us.
I love that, actually.
Like, the fact that they were like, what if the Hulk and all of them are, like, charging forward? Like, not in the movie. They said, that shot that you're referencing was never in the movie in the version that you saw. It was never even created for the movie in that version. It was literally created in that version for the trailer. They must have spent, like, $1 million on the Hulk CGI, and they did it just for that shot. I love that.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And then, plus, you know, they tricked us out with the stones that he had in his glove in that particular scene on Titan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which we theorized.
We did. And I just love how, like, misleading they were, because we got to experience this movie. Like, we were shocked the whole movie. Like, this whole movie just kept hitting you.
The entire movie.
Is it too early to ask, like, what was up with Hulk? Why?
His butt beat.
That was it? Like, that's the entire reason?
He had never been beaten before. I mean, think about it. The closest that he had gotten beaten was when he was on Planet Hulk. I'm sorry, Sakaar. Mm-hmm. When he was on Sakaar and he was going through, like, the Tournament of Champions, the Contest of Champions. And then Thor was about to make that happen. And then, you know, who steps in but Grandmaster to then, like, activate Valkyrie's thing. So then, you know,
It just seems like such a weird choice to make the Hulk scared.
So in the comics, there's a thing where the Hulk feels betrayed by the Avengers because he's always used as a blunt force.
Yes. Okay.
So they, I think, were alluding to the idea that he was like, hey, you guys only want me for fights. I'm not here for you. If Banner's going to be in control, I'm not your guy. So
Banner's
to me,
your friend. I'm not your friend.
To me, yeah, and he, like, the Ragnarok dialogue ties very tightly into, like, hey, you guys don't like me, you like puny Banner. If you want Banner, you got Banner. So I feel like that was...
I like that explanation, but then... So what he did was leave for 2 years to go somewhere where he would literally only be a blunt instrument the entire time and never be Banner?
I think he got stuck.
So that's it.
I think Hulk was winning.
He was winning, and I'm sure he liked that. But, like, that just means that he liked being a blunt instrument. And mm-hmm. he just was a blunt instrument for the Grandmaster instead of the Avengers.
He liked being number one, you know, numero uno.
Yeah.
Instead of being just, like, part of a team where he was second banana to a god.
He had his face on banners. Everybody was coloring themselves. He had a hot tub. They were running in the streets. He had a dinosaur head. You know, as his bed.
He had
Tessa
Thompson as his bestie.
That's true. That's a life.
So that's the thing. Okay. And then he goes from that to after he was like, you know, fighting Surtur, and he's like, oh no, I could win. You know, this smash. No. And then he goes to getting like his, you know, his butt handed to him by, you know, this purple corduroy face dude. Then it's like, he's like, you know,
nutsack
what?
On
no,
the
I'm
chin,
not gonna,
dude.
I'm not
yeah.
gonna play.
And to be honest, he probably got sick of that stupid poem. He didn't want to hear sun's getting real low all over again.
Yeah, which I don't.
Guys, stop with the sun's getting real low. I'm not going to be the Hulk again. I'm done. So I think that like there's a myriad of reasons, and I like that the Russo brothers kind of like alluded to that whole third act, always unleash the Hulk thing, where they're mm-hmm. like, now's the time, it's the last second, this is what you always do.
But Michelle, I agree, that's frustrating as heck.
It is, but I do like it for exactly that reason, that, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have Hulk as this like Deus Ex smashing machine, you know. I like it.
That Deus Ex smashing machine.
So it is good to not have that for once. To not be able to count on that. But I wasn't sure if it really like what exactly he wanted.
It's canon
at that
in
point,
comics,
which
for
is
that
fine.
Direction.
Yeah. I like that explanation.
Yeah, that one works for me, and I think they touched on it, just maybe not enough.
It just kind of seemed like he was just scared, and that wasn't enough for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, I feel you.
Now, also in the world of fear and sad. Groot's last words.
No, I'm not going to talk about this.
So again,
I'm leaving.
I didn't have a chance. I did not have a chance because I didn't want to be spoiled. Oh, so I started seeing all this come out, and I was like, okay, I haven't seen it yet. I'm not going to look. And I didn't get a chance to look at it.
I can't
until you know, after I saw the movie. So I don't know.
Do you not know?
I don't know.
I can't.
Groot's last words.
No.
Did James Gunn say this?
Yep, James Gunn said this. James' last words to Rocket.
No.
Or Daddy?
No.
I thought it was dad.
I thought it was daddy. Anyway, dad with a question mark, like as he fades.
He thought
into
that Rocket was his dad, which means that the rest of the Guardians of the Galaxy were his family.
So essentially, every bit of James Gunn's movies is daddy issues. Essentially,
yeah. Well,
sure.
He's Mary Poppins, y'all. Yeah. He's your father, not your daddy.
Both of his dads betrayed Star-Lord.
Both of the dads. Yeah.
I mean, but let's take a second here. Let's think about Groot, like, in general. I only found out that original Groot died, like, maybe...
This is son of Groot.
It feels like a few
this
weeks
This is
ago.
Not original Groot. This is and son
then,
of Groot.
And then dad, while he's being dusted. And I'm just...
It's crushing.
It's oh my god, it's so many things.
So, I mean, that's brutal. Infinity War is just
generally
brutal.
We grew up with him, James. We grew up. We saw Hero Baby Groot, like, running with the bomb. He didn't even know what he was doing, but he was like, I'm a guardian of the galaxy.
I wanted one last dance scene.
So we're gonna cruise through the rest of Infinity War, and we will talk on it for the weeks to come, because obviously it is the biggest movie of ever. Especially in Marvel, but in ever in general in life, because it's making all the money. But you can go to www.didthanoskill.me and find out if you made the cut in the giant culling, which I think is a charming bit of social media.
Exactly.
And the internet is made for that fun.
I was spared, and I'm also Valkyrie, so.
Hey!
Prophetic, I think.
I was killed for the sake of the universe. I checked this morning.
I'm dead.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Check and then tweet at us who you are. Well, that's fun.
Let's know if you made the cut.
You know what's weird? I thought it was going to be like a coin flip, right? It'd be like 50-50, you'll be spared, you won't be spared.
Mm-hmm.
I took that test 20 times. I reloaded the page 20 times. I was spared the whole time. So I think I'm in Dr. Strange's plan to like save the universe.
There you go, man.
Amy's reaction to that is awesome.
Well, I took it twice, and the first time they were like, no, you're dead. And the second time I was like, no, never mind. We spared you. So I was like, we'll make up your mind.
Anthony's
on edge. Yeah. But Anthony.
He's got destiny.
I don't know what's happening, Anthony.
I even closed the page and everything, and I typed it in again, and I was spared. Every single time I was spared.
Amazing.
That's excellent.
They need me.
They need you. The universe has called you.
So if you go on any of our Twitter pages and Instagram and life and things, there's so many amazing Infinity War memes out there. And I, one of my favorite things about the internet is memes. And I love the world we're getting with the, like, the Thanos stuff, the crossovers. There's tons of Parks and Rec ones. And I'm just now watching Parks and Rec for the first time. I've never seen Parks and Rec, so I'm mid Parks and Rec.
I feel like we talked about this. You and I have basically seen Parks and Rec just straight through memes.
Yeah, basically, 100%.
In GIF form.
And now I'm seeing it through Avengers Parks and Rec. So I'm like, ah. Like,
the
Friends
memes.
Yeah, they're amazing. Yeah. Like, this is fantastic.
Yes, the amazing.
Yeah, they're hiding in plain sight.
Actually, if you go on Twitter, Hector Navarro, friend of the show, and Lon and myself had a giant series. We went like 20 comments back and forth with screenshots of friends.
I think this was originally tweeted to Roxy Stryer from DC Movie News, so because she's a big Friends fan, I feel, or something.
Yeah, Roxy.
So it's glory on the internet. Find it. And then lastly, in the world of that, Spider-Man is going to have some tricky marketing. It's been going around that Sony, you know, famously doesn't know how to not talk. So they, when they announced Spider-Man 2 would take place mere minutes
when
after Avengers 4, Amy Pascal's
oh
like,
my God.
So my theorizing is that they wouldn't have advertising, but Slash Films got a great article about, if you start advertising 6 months before a movie comes out, 6 months before Spider-Man comes out, we won't have Avengers 4 yet. How will they advertise that movie? So, I would love to hear you, Marvelites, what you think Sony's going to do to advertise a movie that spoils the end of another movie and still be nice. Like, how are they going to have that Marvel-Sony deal still be...
Yeah,
like,
or,
that's...
is it pre-Infinity War in some way?
It takes place 10 minutes after Infinity War.
Oh, wow.
They literally, like, that's what she said, that's what I'm saying. Amy Pascal came out and was like, it takes place minutes after 4,
you know,
and everybody's like...
She's a treasure. She really is.
So that's
true. Just like with her with Venom, where she's like, Spider-Man is going to be in Venom.
Awkward. So I would love to hear Marvelite's theories about that magic, because that's a lot of foot and mouth. And also in the world of rumors, Black Widow has apparently looked at so many directors, 65 directors.
You know what?
So 65 is a large number of directors to look at. Do you guys have any director you would love to see direct Black Widow?
It all depends on when it's happening. I mean, they've been tossing around this for a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, one of the names that you could say is Kathryn Bigelow.
Yeah,
I loved her with Strange Days, and it would be great to have her be a part of any Marvel movie anyway.
Yeah, she would be amazing. I wouldn't mind Michelle McLaren.
I love Michelle McLaren. That was one of my picks.
Yeah, I could go with that. I mean, the woman knows how to handle a fight scene.
Yep.
Yeah, but I do like that. I like that idea. I mean, if Patty Jenkins wasn't taken for Wonder Woman too, you know,
Lexi that would be Alexander nice can direct the hell out of a fight scene. Lexi
okay,
is
yeah,
like
yeah.
A,
I can see that.
Great with Punisher Warzone,
and she's got a brutality to her directing style. It'd be good for Black Widow because that character needs to be brutal.
It needs to be dark again. Mm-hmm. Can I just say, like, because I swear to God, if they do the same thing that they've been doing with most Marvel movies, where they subvert every other line of dialogue with a joke, and they do it with Black Widow, seriously only superpower is like her amazing ninja skills and questioning skills, like
the red room needs to exist.
Yeah,
like that needs to be a part of it.
I want
to
see the red in her ledger. I want to see it.
I still
want
to see what happens in Budapest. I don't know what her get up to.
We're never gonna find out what happened in Budapest,
but I mean, I can dream. So
I mean, I think there's a comic about that in the Fresh Start series.
And Johansson herself said, yes, it's such a loaded question. I would love to, in the right context, for the film to fit where I'm at, where I am in life. I mean, I've played the character for a long time. It's probably been 8 years or more, and so much has happened in my life. My life as a performer and happened in my life personally, but I love playing the character, and I think there is definitely an opportunity to explore Widow as a woman who has kind of come into her own and is making independent and active choices for herself, probably for once in her life. So that sounds like a very her spirited movie that I want. I don't want her as the, like, her plus team. I want her.
I just want her.
But I don't want it to be like Red Sparrow. We don't have to have that in particular.
Red Sparrow?
It be Black Widow.
I'm thinking more Atomic Blonde, in my opinion.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I was okay with Atomic Blonde.
Closer to A4, so I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
I think that's...
Can we talk about that female fight scene? Infinity War. We don't really have to talk about it, but how awesome was that?
Yes, Scarlet Witch, Okoye, and Black Widow, like, just getting the business done
and actually fighting together.
Yeah,
that was. And it's funny because
why
they almost have a moment where
the
they like
time?
Look at each other like, oh, this, we're doing this. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that. Was she there the whole time?
I think they can make that. I personally would love to see a couple solo female-led movies and then that lead to A-Force. I want to get to know the characters more before the team, because if you just start with the team, we don't have time to invest in them. So I would love a Black Widow solo. I would love a Valkyrie solo, and then get to... Like, I love that Wasp is Ant-Man and the Wasp, but that's a step. I would love to just have a solo.
I feel like we've known the characters enough. I mean, like, think about it with, like, Black Panther. We only really met Okoye in Black Panther, mm-hmm. but we know Okoye. I think that we don't have to wait for origin films to be able to have them put together to know exactly who they are and where they're coming from and then see whatever force it is that they are.
One of my favorite things about Black Panther was the level of female character development in that movie. Just, the, yeah. I mean, it was incredible. No, not Wonder, well, Wonder Woman too, but Black Panther in particular. Just because it was more recent. Like, just, I mean, there were so many strong female characters and they were distinct from each other, mm-hmm. which is what I loved.
They were different.
Yeah.
I just worry about if like everything's people. A team movie.
Yeah. Like, we're people.
Like people are. Oh my God. They were people.
I think in the next year we'll find out A-Force is on the slate. I hope. But I would love to see some individuals first, personally. Because I don't want everything to be a team movie and then bigger, then at some mm-hmm. point it can't be bigger. Like, I want to see.
That's when Thanos comes back.
That's when, and then he just takes out half. Speaking of individual movies that may or may not ever exist, Gambit.
Gambit.
Gambit is a movie that is in Channing Tatum's mind. Channing Tatum has come out, and this is, I want to believe this quote is said without a wink, but I don't see it. Quote, "I think we got super, super lucky," Tatum said last summer of the frequent delays. "I think a lot of setbacks, we'll look at them in hindsight as giant blessings." That is some political lawyer. That is a government worker talking.
Like, that's some shade, like, right there.
Goddamn. So it's gone through like 9 directors. It's gone through 100 rewrites.
You know, I mean, Gambit isn't necessarily a bad thing or anything like that. But it's also like Gambit just kind of feels like that person that you went to college with that was really, really cool, and then like pops up in your life every now and again.
And you're like, oh, you're like, still doing that thing. You're still working at that pizza shop.
It's like
that
really
we were at in college.
Really glad that things are going well. You're not going to be a part of my life right now.
Amy, are you on my side? Future? Do you want a Gambit movie?
I mean, sure.
Sure.
Is that
it's just like Venom. It's me holding up a Venom sign and a Gambit sign in the corner of the internet going, maybe.
It's not that Gambit's a bad person, but Gambit movie's a bad person, but it's just also like, you know, not right now, but I'm looking forward to what you'll bring in the future.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested to see. I mean, if we're waiting this long, like, make it good, please.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the rumor
come back
is
with a strong.
They start filming soon. So that'd be nice. Sure. I don't know who's going to direct it, but maybe there'll be people sitting on sets.
I don't think they have Ruthie Carter, but was it Hannah Beechler that they had originally? Hannah Beechler?
Rupert Wyatt.
Ant-Manthony?
Real quick, I just want to say, I love Gambit, and I'm with Quentin.
Yeah!
Okay, cool.
Gambit and Rogue is like my favorite couple of the
They would yes! The they, I don't but believe they have Rogue in this.
But see, that's know, the but problem, is because they wouldn't have Rogue, and I feel like such a part of Gambit's character is, you know, his relationship to Rogue and his relationship to women in general, but sure. Well, maybe like, I just like Rogue better than her,
this is
than
like
him.
Shenanigans before
we want a good
down,
rogue.
You know?
Like, right? Yeah. And like, he's a thief. He plays both sides.
Yeah. Sometimes if they make the Morlocks strong, then that could that could be a really good one.
I've been waiting for an Oceans movie, superhero movie, for so long. I've been waiting for a Steven Soderbergh, who is one of the names, one of the many names.
The fact it's going to be like a heist type movie. Okay, I'm down for.
Soderbergh meets telekinetic powers, I mean like kinetic energy powers. That'd be so much fun.
Sure.
So maybe one day, Gambit. I'm with you, C-Tates. You call me up.
Tates,
I'll cheer all day. Do we have our TV time jingle? Is it available?
If it isn't, we can just go straight to it.
Yes!
It's TV time.
There's a person that made us.
Watch out
right now.
This.
Oh.
Apparently, it's a lot like the DC movie news.
Aww.
Yeah.
But we have a jingle.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
We're talking TV time.
It's very basic.
TV time.
Mellow.
TV time. Does so whatever a TV time does.
There you
Speaking
go.
Of
you
TV time, Luke Cage. There's a new trailer.
There's a full behind trailer.
So
they
sped
knock it
through.
Out of the park. This is a great trailer.
I wanted to watch this with Markia, so I sped through some other stuff because I want to see Markia experience this because it's always one of my favorite things. So play that funky Luke Cage, white boy.
Yo, I'm Luke Cage.
Yeah, you are.
there.
You know where to find me.
Got it all, man.
I like this. It's like him and his homeboy. We're just like, we're just going to make this video real quick, dude. This is going to happen.
I ain't no joke.
Yeah.
Look at him. He's walking with the smoothie.
The selfies of the kids is adorable.
He's like walking down the street and everybody's like, oh, let's just like get away.
You got to know we tried, man.
I ain't no joke.
And this... Where it's like, hey, we don't want to mess up. You know, you look really good right now. We don't want to mess it up, but hey, we have to see that we tried.
And believe me, Luke Cage is nothing but a man.
And this. Ooh.
It's mine.
And this is something that you realize because this Luke Cage that you see in like Netflix Marvel, he hasn't had to go through the things that Luke Cage, comic book Luke Cage is going through. Comic book Luke Cage at this point has been almost drowned, has been like gassed, has had explosive arrows into his chest. When you have somebody else that's going up against you with like unbreakable skin and that also has fighting skills, when you think about it, Luke Cage goes into stuff like, nothing can touch me, I will punch you.
But Bushmaster.
You know, this guy is bringing like in the, what's that fighting style?
Capoeira?
Thank you, Aunt Anthony.
Oh, capoeira?
He's bringing in that capoeira aspect with it.
Someone in the live chat said they were filming a viral video for Heroes for Hire, and I love that idea. Oh, that's fantastic.
That'd be great. You mean what Defender should have been?
Cool. Yeah. Like the music with this and this.
That shot.
Villain Woodard.
Shades is
Mariah's
back.
Mariah's bringing it. You have Shades.
And there's the arm.
Crown. You have first draft Misty Knight with her bionic arm. Did you see the gun? Did you see the gun with her?
Also, Claire Temple just... Oh, I love her so much.
Sidekick. Who says you're not my sidekick?
Oh, yeah.
Daughters of the Dragon says that you're her sidekick.
It's my show.
It's not your show, it's
for
my show.
For now.
I just don't kill Bushmaster, episode 7.
Well, it all depends on
how... That was surprising.
It all depends on how they portray him. If they're going to make him be like a mastermind of crime, or if they're going to make him be... You know, like how Diamondback was, then I want him killed quickly. If he's a Diamondback, I want him killed quickly.
You know what? I'm going to need you to, like, up your excitement level about this show, girl. Because I'm just,
I feel like.
She's so mellow.
You know, am I mellow right now?
No. I feel like.
Because I honestly can't tell.
The shades. I live at 11.
You need me at a 5.
Five and a half. This is the Deadpool 2 episode. But I love that, like, the shades of voodoo, because that's, like, a part of the Luke Cage mythos that I've dabbled, like, seen. I love that Bushmaster can lead into Moon Knight, which I've been asking for forever. I'm not saying that's happening, but it can. Like, that's totally a character that can go into the dark corner of Netflix, which could lead us into... Because we got Daredevil into Punisher, and that was a great through line. I love that this is going in a different direction that can get us into the weird corners of the Marvel Netflix universe.
Well, so, I mean, it had such a good intro with Jessica Jones, like, originally kind of introducing Luke Cage, and then just him being able to come in and just take over his own series. Yes. It's just
it's so organic.
Well, yeah,
like these shows are so organic into the next.
Completely. But I am really glad that we got season 2 of Jessica Jones already.
Yeah. And I think Iron Fist season 2 is going to be Here's Prior, because he's in it so much.
It's completely redone.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think we've seen Luke Cage in so many press photos that I think that they've learned some lessons. Mm-hmm. So I really think that, like, when I say organic, I'm hoping that is also organic and that they reshape what Iron Fist could be.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk about Iron Fist, but for this, like, Luke Cage in general, I mean, yes, I'm very much enjoying. I like the fact that I feel like, because she was only shown a little bit, that I think they're going to double down on Mariah as the big bad with this. Mm. Because think about it, you can't punch her out.
Yeah.
She's a basically a government official.
Yeah. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. No, she deserves it. We know
feminism,
she deserves it.
It's all right.
No, she deserves a punch in the face by Luke Cage, but it's not going to happen, because that's not going to solve
political
anything.
Reasons.
It's just going to make him a criminal.
And everything's on camera, and Luke Cage is such a public figure himself.
Exactly.
And I love that they portrayed that.
But it would be really great if somewhere in a hidden corner they had like a
Moon Knight like character.
That would be very interesting.
That's
I didn't think about that.
Bushmaster and Moon Knight are like, to me, Bushmaster is Moon Knight's big bad.
I just got back from Egypt and nothing's been the same.
Yes. So I think that is all of the Luke Cage stuff we have. We also, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. you wanted to mention.
Oh, we didn't get anything from Dune.
Not this week. He did 2 minutes last week, so he's
Yeah, he did. He very much did. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay, so I've only watched season 5. So those that know, you know, and feel free to tweet at me like during the week for points that you want me to bring up with this. So at this point, Talbot is Graviton, or Gravitron. I believe, and
that's a carnival ride. I know. I'm making this up now.
He's decked out in his like G pimp outfit, and he's tossing around aliens. He's like, "I'm part of your crew now," kind of a thing. He like absorbs one of the aliens to be like, "Now there's a spot for me," kind of a thing. And it's just on one aspect. I mean, it's crazy. The show's crazy, but I kind of like it. on the one aspect, though, it's so, Talbot is kind of like, he was kicked around for so long, and he was, like, mind warped with things, and, like, brainwashed and programmed and everything, and now that he has this power, he's stepping on everybody else, and it's such a horrific thing. It really is. I don't know where they're going. I don't know if the Earth is going to be saved. Amy, is the chat room saying anything with this Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Part? Is Graviton. Thank you. Not Gravitron.
That's the ride.
Yeah,
that's it.
Thank you, Graviton.
Wait, we've got fans of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Zeno Hour says Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sound surprised
so
about
good.
That.
Well, no, it's kind of thin. The comments about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are thin, but we have a fan of you, Michelle Patrick Alguide.
Hi, Patrick.
He really likes you. Yay!
The one person. Thank you.
Special shout out.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to where this goes. The season finale is on May 18th. So that is coming around.
Oh, yeah,
I will press Doom for his own like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. minute where he's very good about like encapsulating everything because he's seen every episode. He does the after show here at AfterBuzz TV for it. But for me, it's just kind of nuts. It's crazy. I love that they've incorporated Infinity War into it. Thanos exists in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Universe, which completely
makes cool.
sense makes
at that
sense.
Point
yeah
where you have Talbot wanting to be like, oh wait, he exists, so therefore let me go down and fight with the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And as we see in the movie, he never shows up, at least from where we see. So I mean, that's a very interesting aspect to add into everything.
The only
Unless
thing
you want to claim, like the Maria Hill thing was a bit of a crossover.
Oh yeah,
between
cool.
the
yeah,
two
yeah, yeah.
So sort of
yeah that worked. And the only thing I know about the finale is it is the budget's insane and that it is almost inclusive to where it wraps up three seasons worth of storylines.
Yeah.
So
and,
that's exciting.
Yeah. And there is a thing where they established in the earlier part of the season that the world was destroyed.
Okay.
And they had to like travel back in time to fix it. And they may actually be doing that whole thing with time travelers where it's like we're actually still making it happen.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, we'll see. We'll see if Quake does not become the destroyer of worlds, if Daisy breaks out of that role.
I think
she
will.
Was, yeah, if she never was a destroyer
I'd have that
of
in
worlds.
My contract.
Yeah,
we know it's
her.
Not Ruby mm-hmm. because she's dead now. So there's a whole lot of things up in the air. And Coulson's still alive and maybe he shouldn't be and all this other stuff.
He went back to Tahiti.
Is that
just magical.
Do we want to do Legion or Mary Marvelites?
Well, Legion, I'm not completely.
I'm not caught up, so sorry.
I did up to season 4, episode 4.
She's in the future
with that one.
Did you get the time stone?
Season 4 is great.
Yeah. I have the time stone and that thing from Harry Potter.
Hermione's time turner.
You liar! Those were all destroyed in the Ministry. How dare you?
We all left on a Harry Potter reference.
Can I
point out the three of us were like, yes. This is a thing we don't get to talk about enough.
Everybody.
The thing that we all know something about.
I use a time stone to get another one.
Okay, I have a very specific, very deep den of geek, all
right?
I'm
right
sorry.
There, yeah. Bunch of muggles not knowing.
Shout outs. King of Evil 89, hashtag Hyperforce Season 2. I know from Hyper RPG. At Sledge City's Heroes. Nate at Blue Kangle. Kyle Thor is MVP Spetcher at Kyle Spetcher. Day Moon Rules at Day Moon Rules. Clay Stoner Juliet at K.
Kayla Live, Hamil at MC Bigga, J Soup at J Soup, Mr. J Silver at Shadows 1192, Damien at Honcholo with the Z, Joey Moda at Moda Roland, Trey underscore Walker at Bono V Rock, Rachel W at Ray Babies, Francisca Perez at Francis K. Sheffer.
Some new ones in there.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. And I think Bark.
Birds, what are they? Are they?
I think they changed theirs. Oh. It has something to do with dogs.
All right.
So we have all to right. Things. And we said at the earlier part of the episode, but we are doing a thing, a fan meetup for John Schnepp's birthday. You know that myself and Koi do Collider Heroes on Wednesdays. So not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, which will be May 16th. Thank you, Michelle. We'll be at the AMC 16 in Burbank. We're going to see the 2:30 p.m. Infinity War. We're going to have a meet and greet 1 p.m. at Panera Bread in that same complex. You know, parking is free. And like just we're going to do that after we, you know, film Collider Heroes. Yeah. We're just going to walk over there and
so we'll be hanging out. On a meet and greet.
Birthday fun. Yes.
Just remember AMC 16, May 16. Easy.
Yeah.
Oh, there
you go. Hey, you're welcome, guys. You can have that for free.
Now I got my schedule sorted.
Okay. So, also, I did a Twitter poll. My thing was, it's Marvelous May. What are you most looking forward to right now? Obviously, we have Fortnite and Thanos mashup, which is happening and active today, which I believe it's like one person can be Thanos. And then it's like, well, so sorry, other 99.
Boss mode.
Way to go. God mode right
there.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's like playing the game after hitting Konami code. Like, you're just, what even is the point
just to know
else?
What it feels like to be Thanos.
Yeah.
It's like you fingers. If you find the gauntlet, whatever.
Everyone loses every time someone snaps. Yeah. Like, half the game's like, oh, I gotta start over.
Well, apparently 6% of 346 votes are looking forward to it. The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 5 finale on May 15th, 11% are looking forward to it. And then watching Infinity War again, 37% are. And then, of course, Deadpool 2, opening May 18th, 45%
big day.
Of the people are looking forward to that. And then a special shout out to the person that was like, how about if I'm looking forward to 10 Candles, which is another show that I'm on. Aww. So that's nice. On Monday nights, yeah, go see that, 6 p.m.
Also, I'd recommend you guys watch our May 22nd episode of this show for Deadpool reasons,
Just
throwing that out there.
Just an idea. Just watch May 22nd. Just if you can't watch next week, you should. But if you can't, May 22nd.
You'll see. Really good.
You'll see.
Yeah, you know, if there's like interview stuff that may happen, that will
happen. Tom Blyfeld might show up again.
I know.
Guys, I feel like you're hinting at stuff and I'm just not getting it. Could you be more
so subtle?
It's too subtle.
I want the soap opera hints.
Too subtle for me.
I want the soap opera level.
Things. Okay, so what do we have here? We have Sky Patterson. Gambit has been in development since 2016.
2014.
The film project has gone through 3 different release dates, 3 different directors, multiple scripts, time to get it together. Give it to Adam Weingart, Daniel Espinosa, or James Gunn.
How do we feel? There's about no that? Women in this list. But okay,
I know.
Sure.
It's like, I don't know that James we really Gunn do need to start incorporating that into our mental.
Yeah, it's okay.
Into our mental scape.
Yeah, Koi, I agree with you though. I don't think this is.
It's not right in his wheelhouse.
James's wheelhouse.
I love his work, but I like that his work is separate from the Marvel universe for a reason. Like, I like that it's adjacent.
It's kind of like it's very offbeat. Yeah. Honestly, I mean, everything from like, you know, super. I mean, dear God.
Slither is a hell of a thing.
Slither is a hell of a movie. and then, you know, everything even more mainstream with Guardians is still the offbeat kind of redheaded stepchild of the universe. And it rightly is. But, yeah, not so
not
much.
For me.
Not for Gambit.
Yeah. Soderbergh's my dream. Michelle McLaren, we discussed earlier. Wow. I think Michelle McLaren would bring a frenetic action that, like, other directors wouldn't. Because, like, when she did Breaking Bad, some of her work on that show just was so tense that I'd love to see her Gambit.
Yeah.
So those are two that I want.
I agree.
And then from YouTube, I'm Adam Raya. Mark Bernardin and Ryan Sands love it. Love it. We had them on the show last week. So yeah, Mark, you know, from Fat Man on Batman, and Ryan Sands from Marvel's Runaways. So we enjoyed having that. Billy Barnett, if I could just sit around with like-minded geeks to talk comics and open a box of toys, I would be so happy. Which is what we did last week.
Good time.
It was super fun. Oh, okay. So spoiler question from KWS2534. How did Thor know to go to Wakanda? Does having the ability to summon the Bifrost give him some form of insight, like Heimdall did? Don't get me wrong. Love that moment. 100% with Koi. Loved that moment. Favorite moment. I think it was, their favorite moment. but how did Thor know?
I feel like when you get the Bifrost, you get a certain perspective of where it lands. Like, you have to aim it.
Yeah. Right? I think that he was just like, hey, where's this Avenger? Take me there. Like, where's Captain America? I want to go there.
I can see that. But I agree with you. It's sort of like an FTL drive. Because otherwise you just end up in the middle of an asteroid.
Yeah,
you
don't know. Nobody wants that. It's like Nightcrawler. Like, Nightcrawler needs to know where he's going.
You have
then he
to
bamps,
see the other side. Exactly.
So I think Bifrost gives you the ability. I think that this here weapon gives you the perspective.
I think the question is like, yeah, just because you know where you're going doesn't mean you know that's the right place to go. So that might, I think that's more of the question of like, yeah, it would have to be, okay, I see, Hulk and Bruce Banner hanging out
here. Go there.
Yeah, exactly. Go there.
It's like,
yeah.
I'm going to go there. And then last question from A.R. Watkins.
It's like fast travel.
How does Bruce Banner know what happened when Thanos beat up Hulk? And Ragnarok, Bruce didn't remember anything while he was Hulk.
That is a good question.
Yeah. I personally feel like after he kind of... It felt like he kind of came to terms with Hulk.
I feel like they negotiated some sort of...
And Ragnarok, I kind of feel like they kind of did. When he then called on Hulk after he... I feel like Hulk made him hit the Rainbow Road first. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, and now I'll come out. But I feel like... with that point, I feel like they have a more of a symbiotic relationship, and then maybe that's why.
Wasn't there an outside line too, while Bruce was himself, of being like, "Oh yeah, no, Thanos kicked your ass."
Yeah, I feel like he refers to him as like a third party, but he can acknowledge what happened.
Right.
Mm. Also, but if you wake up in a hole, it's like being drunk. Like when you wake up and you're like covered in bruises, you know something bad happened. Like, so I feel like he might just like know that Hulk got beat up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know.
We've all fallen through a sky hole, having too many drinks and
landing. We've all fallen through a sky hole.
Every day where you're having that blackout drunk moment like we all do.
Sometimes you wake up in a strange master of mysticism.
There we go. I woke up with a hangover. Hashtag sky hole.
I go out and everyone's wearing masks with my faces. That's everything.
Where can they find you on the internet before we wrap up?
I am everywhere at Michelle Boyd, MichelleBoyd. The Twitters, the Instagrams, the Twitches, all the things. Fantastic. On the interwebs.
One L,
you mother pearls.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markia McCarty, MarkiaMccarty. And just look at my Twitter. I do a lot
of
stuff.
She'll keep you posted.
Yeah. I'm going to be doing a lot of fun things with Geek & Sundry, so just check out me there if you like tabletop games and me GMing things.
Yes.
Miss Amy?
All I can say.
Yes, you guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ, and there's a lot of stuff that I'm posting on Twitter, so make sure you guys stay tuned for that.
And you can find me at CoyjanDreau on Instagram and Twitter, and on Heroes with Markia tomorrow, and on friggin' Wednesday Club this Wednesday. I'm doing a Deadpool special.
Yay!
And I'm reading all of Deadpool again in prep. I'm reading from New Mutants 98 through to date, and I'm enjoying the hell out of it. So I'll be talking about that on Wednesday. I'm so excited.
I'm watching.
So it's going to be great.
I'm going to Postmates you some chimichangas.
Oh, yes. These are the best friends. All right, guys. We will see you next week, and come back 22nd. Bye.
Bye.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.